Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson, and it's a lovely Monday here thus far. It's supposed to rain later on this evening, but hasn't started yet, and so not going to rain on our parade, nor did it rain on, well, it kind of did on Terrell Edmonds' parade. We didn't talk about this re-signing in the first segment, but the Steelers re-signing Terrell Edmonds on Friday. That was kind of a late Friday news dump that we call in the business, that something happens right at 5 o'clock because they don't want all the news organizations to have much on it. I don't know if that was the case for the Steelers, but it might have been the case for Terrell Edmonds' camp.
Yeah, and it pretty much happened right after we stopped recording, so we didn't have a chance to comment on it. You mentioned, you know, getting warm here in the Berg. It was a glorious weekend to bring in, usher in draft week. Happy draft week to all. You know, and you'll hear from us twice before the draft and a whole bunch during. So that's good stuff. I'm all for it. I mean, maybe the Edmonds camp isn't thrilled with how free agency went for them. And frankly, I'm a little shocked that he didn't get more love out there, because he's a good starting safety. I mean, is he a Pro Bowler or a superstar? No, but there's talent there, and I do think he's improving. He eats up a ton of snaps ever since he came in the league, and that in itself has a lot of value. He's a man coverage guy against tight ends. He plays the run. He's actually getting his hands on the football a little bit more. You know, I think there's some promise there. And he's young, you know, coming off the first contract. So I don't know why the league wasn't fonder of him. But the other 31 teams' loss is the Steelers' gain, in my opinion. And he's a quality player that has done a lot here already. He's very cost-effective deal from what I've seen. And just bring them back and try to win games with them.
Yeah, I look at it as a win, certainly for the Steelers, getting him back before the draft. You know, and it takes, again, what the Steelers always try to do is have all the positions filled, you know, before they go into the draft, and they've done that.
Yeah, right.
You know, the thing about it is there's this misnomer. There's this. I saw it again, you know, when the Steelers signed him. Well, the Steelers don't cover tight ends well. Here's the reality, folks. Since they've gotten Terrell Edmonds, they've been one of the better teams in the league covering tight ends. The numbers that when people say, well, the Steelers can't cover tight ends, it's been a longstanding problem. It's not been a longstanding problem the last 4 years. They have covered tight ends really well. The numbers last year, they allowed 120 targets. 81 catches on 120 targets. So that's a really high number. Well, most of those tight end targets are close to the line of scrimmage. Four touchdown passes. The 81 catches that they allowed was, bottom half of the league. The 811 yardage they allowed, 811 yards, was bottom of the league. And just for argument's sake, so they allowed 81 catches to the tight ends. The Philadelphia Eagles allowed 107. That led the league. The 811 yards, the Los Angeles Chargers allowed 1,170 yards. Again, that's 300 yards less than the team that allowed the most. They allowed four touchdowns to opposing tight ends. That was actually tied for third fewest in the league. Mm-hmm. So this idea that the Steelers haven't covered tight ends well is complete bunk.
Here's my narrative on that is I think much of it goes back to when they were trying to unseat the Patriots as the top dog in the AFC and or NFL, and Gronk would come to town and light you up. And
guess what, folks? He does it to everybody.
Yes. He's the best tight end that's ever lived in my
opinion. Oh, they had trouble covering Kelsey. Well, no kidding. Everybody else does too.
Right. And I'm not getting on Pittsburgh fans, but I think they're a little behind the times on the modern day tight end. I mean, let alone Gronk and Kelsey. I mean, frankly, I think Gronk's the best position player on offense in the last 20 years. As not a quarterback, better than any receiver, running back, you know, lineman, an all time great, no matter what position. He did that to everyone, especially in big games. Kittle does, you know, Kelsey.
Kelsey's not far off from that. These are generational talents. Nobody Kelsey's can cover them. That's why they're going to the Hall of Fame.
That's what I say. Kelsey's even more productive as a receiver. Andrews is, you know, was probably the best tight end in the league. Productive.
And they've actually done a really good job on Andrews.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. And these tight ends, Gronk aside that we just mentioned, they're just wideouts. I mean, if that was Stephon Diggs catching those passes, nobody would bat an eye about it. I mean, that's how the position is used, folks. I mean, I don't watch games, you know, year after year and say, boy, this team's got a tight end, the defense problem at all. I mean, is it the best in the league? No. But is it a problem area? I don't think so. And I also think adding Jack and hopefully getting more from Bush will help that as well. And who knows? They still may draft the defensive back high.
Yeah, I that's what I was going to say. I don't think this takes that off the board, off the table, because it's a one-year deal. You still don't know what's going on with Minkah Fitzpatrick. I look at the secondary right now as a whole. Cam Sutton signed for this year. Mm-hmm. Terrell Edmonds is signed for this year. Levi Wallace and Akello Witherspoon are signed through next year. And right now, as we sit here today, Minkah Fitzpatrick is signed for this year. You could certainly add cornerback and safety should be high priority picks for them.
I agree. I assume that's where we would go with this. But certainly the need has lessened in typical Colbert
fashion. The immediacy of it.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they just filled a starting spot. You and I talked about this a lot regarding Dax Hill. Like, if they were to draft Dax Hill, who you and I both love, at 20, does that mean you should tell Edmonds to, you know, beat feet? And we both thought, no, you can still bring him back in a deal that's similar to this. The orders changed of how you go about adding the players because you did it before the draft, but it doesn't change my opinion that much. I mean, if anything, if I was torn between Hill and Jordan Davis, Hill and Willis, I might now vote against Hill where I'd pick Hill before, maybe, you know, depending who's out there. But the reality is, if I'm adding a quote safety, I don't want the strong safety type anymore, but I do want the Tyrann Mathieu do it all, cover the slot, cornerback skills safety.
Who is Dax Hill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or Petre, or, you know.
Yeah, one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the type of safety or defensive back that I'm hunting now has changed, but you're always in the market.
And here's the thing, Matt.
Yeah.
The year that they drafted Terrell Edmonds in 2018, they had already signed Morgan Burnett that year.
Right.
So, again, it was a similar kind of thing where you sign Morgan Burnett to come in and be the placeholder slash starter. And you ease Edmonds, and you know, the idea was to ease Edmonds into it. Well, Burnett kept getting hurt. And so there was no easing of Edmonds in there. They had to start him right out of the gate.
Good point.
You know, so it doesn't necessarily take the need off the table. No. I still think they're drafting I think that in this draft they get one, if not two, defensive backs.
I was going to say the same thing. And a couple other things to throw out you that we haven't discussed a lot. Well, first of all, you laid out all the contract stuff, which makes perfect sense. I think Minkah's is going to get done, though.
Minkah's is going to get done. Yeah, that's not a problem.
So that one comes off the table. Edmonds, you can revisit just like you did this last year, a year from now, and or draft somebody. So you would be drafting a third safety slash specialty player slash slot, and Sutton's contract's up, so maybe you're replacing him as the slot. This is the thing I hadn't mentioned to you, though, is
if this goes another month and Joe Hayden says, I'll play for $3 or $4 million, would you sign? Would you bring him back on a 1 year deal?
Yeah, I actually brought that up. Oh, I don't know, maybe a month ago on DK Pittsburgh Sports when they made the signings of Akello Witherspoon and Levi Wallace. I'm like, those guys aren't signed to big money deals.
No,
they're not guaranteed anything. I could see them bringing Joe Hayden back and making it a four corner competition. Maybe you don't get a cornerback in the draft.
Right. That's actually where it's going next with this conversation is. I mean, I don't know if the Steelers agree with this. I have really fallen in love with corner in the third round. And we often talk about the beast that Dane Brugler, you know, has done. And these names, you know, and I realize some of them will be gone. Some of them will be there. Cam Taylor-Britt, Marcus Jones, Kobe Bryant, Josh Williams, Damari Mathis, Zion McCollum, Jalen Armour Davis, Tariq Castro Fields, and probably even a couple others. I think that's the ideal spot to grab a corner, but that's also bad business. You don't go into the draft saying, I'm drafting a corner.
I'm going to get a third round corner, no matter. Right. Yeah. Because what if they're all gone? And then you're like, well, or if there's a better value player there.
I can't believe this defensive tackle fell. I have to take him.
Let me ask you this, Mac, and I'll give you my thoughts on it. You mentioned Jordan, you know, if it comes down to Dax Hill or Jordan Davis,
or receiver you love, or, you know,
how do you weigh bringing in a guy like a Dax Hill, who is at worst his rookie year? If he's the slot guy, he's going to play 60-70% of the snaps,
right?
Against a guy like Jordan Davis, who he's going to play at most probably 30% of the snaps, 30 to 40 at most. I mean, the 2 years ago, Tyson Alualu had a great year.
Mm-hmm.
Played 43% of the snaps.
Right. And that's how it's designed. I mean, right. When I came up with 40, that was if somebody or two people got hurt ahead of them, you know, right. I mean, there might be games. Your top three aren't going to play 17 games. You know, you're going to lose people here and there. That's a tough one because I also, back to the depth conversation, if you're getting I almost feel like it's go big or go home at D-line. You know, like, give me Jordan Davis or Jones. Otherwise, maybe next year's first-round pick fills that position. You know, like, there are some fourth- and fifth-round picks I'm warming up to that I think I would rather have than Davis or Mondo or those type of guys. But they're not the successor to Cam and Tuitt. And, you know, they're going to be role players. They're going to be, you know, tough guys that give you quality snap inning eaters, you know, where Davis to me might be the next generation of great Steeler D linemen to hand that down from Joe Green all the way to Jordan Davis type of thing. So I think that carries a lot of weight in the snap count conversation.
Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
But I hear what you're saying. I mean, which one makes you a better defense in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you have to ask yourself, and that's what you look at. I don't know. It's a tough one because, again, that nose tackle position, if you don't have one, teams are going to take advantage of it. If you do have one, teams are going to take advantage of it because they're going to keep you on the sidelines. It's a catch-22.
Right. And if guys like Hill and Bush aren't protected great by your D-line, well, I don't want them taking on big tight end and guard blocks all day either. We've seen that parade, you know, it's not pretty at all.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one. I think, you know,
but you're not out on Dax Hill at 20, right?
I am not. No.
Right.
I think if the quarterbacks are gone, and when I say the quarterbacks, I think it's Willis and Pickett and nobody else. I don't think that they would take Ritter over one of those guys
over a position player.
That's going to play a lot. I just don't think that's the case. I could be wrong. I don't know, but to me, I think if you can get particularly Willis there, you know, you do it. But
I do think this move sets up the tea leaves a little bit more for a quarterback at 20.
But it has to work. And Todd McShay put out a piece today on ESPN talking about the quarterbacks. And he says, as it stands right now, my sources don't believe there's a team in the top 19 picks that will be drafting a quarterback.
Okay.
I don't know that I expect that to be the case. I think somebody will take one or somebody will trade up.
Say the trade up thing could happen.
You know, I don't expect it to be the Steelers though.
No. No. I would get it. I mean, going from 20 to 17, I could get 20 to 10. I can't get.
No, I don't see that. So,
you know what I mean?
You know, if you sit there at 20 and Malik Willis is there, you take Malik Willis.
I think so. It's just because of what he could be and what he could mean to the franchise. And I hate to say this, but if he's a total bust, it doesn't kill you. It doesn't kill you.
No. The same thing with Pickett. To me, if he becomes Kirk Cousins,
Tannehill Cousins neighborhood, yeah, right.
Then that's worth the 20th pick in the draft.
It is. It absolutely is. Especially financially. You know, right. I mean, just of quality quarterback play. And I bring these examples up all the time. Then you keep Minka. You never lose the Hargraves and Filers.
And you build around that guy.
Right. You know, and more first round picks in the equation and those type of things. I don't think it's the worst recipe. But Willis, I don't want to say he could be Mahomes or Allen.
He has a chance to be a much better player.
To be a much better player, 100%.
He also has a chance to fail, a greater chance to fail than Pickett.
Yes. And there's still,
variance here.
You know, we've talked about this a lot, and fans don't think this way, but you're still going to have a tough time divvying up snaps and reps and all that stuff with these three. And I hate to bring it up. That gets a little easier with Haskins no longer in the mix, unfortunately. Of course, that's not what they wanted. But all four of those guys, Haskins and or first-round pick, were guys they like, you know. So if Trubisky's planning on being your opening day starter, you can't give him 30% of the snaps and say, no, hey, bitch, have at it.
He's got to get 70 to 80% of the snaps in training camp.
Yeah. So I know this isn't a big deal either, but and it would certainly been easier if Dwayne Haskins was still in the mix, was if you draft one, would you consider moving Rudolph for a fifth round pick or something like that?
Just it doesn't matter now.
I guess you just go with those three, you know, that, and because Rudolph again, snaps too. You can't just give him nothing.
Right. That's the thing. And I'll go back to the initial plan with Ben Roethlisberger, who they took at 11,
mm-hmm.
11 was to be the three that year. There was no thoughts at all of playing him his rookie year. He was, in fact, if you remember back to that draft, he was the guy that was one of the reasons why he was drafted after Manning and Rivers was because, well, he's going to take a little while to develop because
mm-hmm.
he's coming from a small school. You look at the system he was in, it was all shotgun, you know, talent wise in terms of the pure athletic talent, he was the better quarterback.
Yeah.
In terms of the ability to run, the ability to have a stronger arm, mm-hmm. all that stuff. The athletic stuff, he was better. And then you know, they were able to move that along a little bit. You know, when Charlie Batts went down in the preseason, okay, Roethlisberger's going to be the number two. They had to come up with some package stuff for mm-hmm. Roethlisberger. Okay, we're going to get him, you know, really good on these 25 plays. And right. You know, read this half of the field. Well, then when Maddox went down, it's like, okay, now we got to really kind of
speed up the development. Right. Yeah.
Fortunately for them, he could handle it. And they had a really good team around him.
That's huge. And I do think this defense is very advantageous to Trubisky, Rudolph, Pickett, Willis, whomever, you know.
Yeah, that's why you build the nest. That's why you draft Najee Harris last year.
And the O-line isn't as good as some of the ones we've seen before, but it's at least stable now. And you have a back in a second year that should be a better player. And you know, they're certainly going to draft a receiver. And folks, oh, by the way, their team building isn't done in a couple days either. I mean, they still have cap space, and there's other Edmonds like people you could add. Quick note on the quarterback situation. I know we're up against it here, but like, if you draft Willis at 20, ideally, I think you want Trubisky to be the one, Rudolph to be his backup if he gets hurt, and maybe Willis is active for a package. But if it's Pickett, he may not even be active.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, he could be
Rudolph.
I don't see a situation where that happens, though, because on game day, the coaches are going to look at this and go, okay. Because, again, Trubisky's going to get so many snaps in training camp that Pickett's not, if it were Pickett, wouldn't be ready to step in and be the number two to get
probably
you
not.
To get you in and out of a game, to win you that game. And that's what the bottom line is. You want your roster on game day to be able to get you to win that game.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. You know,
because if you, and the other part of it is, if you draft a quarterback this year, you're not planning on drafting one next year as well. You want to win games right now.
Right. Win a lot of them. You know?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So, I mean, it gets a little sticky with how you, divide the talent up and the attention they all get. But I'm not turning my nose up at Willis.
No, I think, you know, if McShay is right and there won't be a quarterback taken in the top 19 and they get their choice of this year's quarterbacks, then you take a quarterback. They've done the homework. They know who they'll like. You know, I know everybody again say, well, this isn't a great year for quarterbacks. We've said this 100 times. Some of these guys are going to be starters in the league. Some of these guys, one or two of them might be long-term starters in the league.
And I'm with you. I think it's Willis or Pickett, but if it were Ritter or even Howell, I would say, I understand, you know, I'm warming up to Howell a little bit.
I did my rankings, my quarterback rankings today, actually, on DK. Yeah. And I have Howell ahead of – I have Corral fifth.
I can't get on board with Corral for several reasons.
But yeah.
He's not for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think, folks, if you want to see the Steelers run the same offense that they've run the last 2 years with Ben Roethlisberger, get the ball quick, a lot of wide receiver screens and stuff thrown within 6 yards of the line of scrimmage – Corral is your guy.
Corral's your guy.
That's what he does.
RPOs and a lot of running, and he is aggressive, and everything about Corral is very twitchy and quick, which I respect. But boy, his size really worries me too. And they didn't put much on his plate in terms of scheme, reading. And then the other thing is their head coach is Lane Kiffin, whose dad is an NFL legend. Lane was in the league, and many third and sixes, they run the ball or run a quarterback draw. I mean, like, they don't ever have him drop back and throw an out. You know, he should be the best player on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, time for our penultimate mock draft on the drive. We will do that.
Different, yeah.
Absolutely. So we'll do that when we come back. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio.
Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.